Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do, 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, he represents North Alabama in the United States House of Representatives. Always a pleasure to bring on from 4th Congressional District, Congressman Robert Adderholt is with us. Congressman, good morning. Thanks for making time for us. We'll kick it off here. And then you're up there in Washington, D.C., or you've been up there. And what do you make of, the takeover that Trump's done? I was up there for, 8-9 years. It's a different city than from when I was up there. But do you feel like that was the right move?
No, it's definitely a different place in Washington now with Trump in town, and his administration sort of taking the bull by the horns and moving forward. And I think people were so frustrated with the way that things were moving in Washington. I don't know the exact years you were up there, but it's definitely different now than it has been in many, many years. And I think the American people are very happy with that. We're moving in the right direction. The economy is going well. And overall, things are, I think, going well. We, of course, obviously have our issues here and there, but obviously you're going to always have those. But overall, I think the president's doing a great job and moving things forward. And, the economy's, I think, pretty good. We have some issues with the tariffs, but overall, things are very positive.
Yeah, that's sort of, I think definitely in a good direction, despite what the media say. But, this is what people voted for. They wanted public safety. They wanted safe streets. And you start with right there in Washington, D.C. And, the media may not like it, maybe publicly, but I hear probably behind the scenes, the folks who live up there are maybe breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief.
Well, no, I think it's really a positive thing for this because, as you know, just a couple of months ago, we had the double murder of the young man and young woman that was at the Israel that had been working at the Israeli embassy that were gunned down. And then just about a month ago, one of my colleagues from the state of Kansas, Ron Estes, his intern was shot around the Chinatown area and was killed. Again, 21, 22 years old, intern, working in Washington for the summer. And it's those things, are incidents that I just know about, that has occurred in the last 3 months. And I'm sure, and of course, that's not to mention all the other murders that have occurred when there's been violence in other situations and drug crimes and things like that. But these are just innocent people that are just walking down the street. And so that's why I think Trump felt like he needed to do something. And there's been many more examples of where, an unfortunate situation like that has occurred.
Congressman, I guess the big news the last, several days, we've been really honed in on the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. I'd say particularly that started with the summit in Alaska. Then you had Zelensky in town earlier this week and a bunch of European leaders. And you've been at this game a while, especially on the foreign policy front. What do you think the real story is there? How do you think it's going?
I just think Putin's unpredictable. I mean, I am one of those Republicans that have been supportive of trying to, as a majority of the Republicans have in Congress, have making sure that Putin does not continue his mission of trying to take over Europe. And we've of course have seen that what's happening to Ukraine and to push back on him. He is one of those people that will not listen to anything but force. And I know a lot of people have a lot of mixed concerns about our involvement there, but if he goes into a NATO country, we have no option but then to get involved and send our men and women over there. I mean, that's what treaty that we've agreed to under the Article 5. So it's better that we push back now and help Ukraine and try to find a resolution of this than wake up one morning and we find out he's going into one of the NATO countries and we're going to be involved in sending our men and women overseas to fight a war. So I think that it's vitally important that he get the message, Putin, that is, that we are serious, that Trump, he wants to end this war. I was just hearing an interview on television the last couple of days, and he is very concerned with the deaths that are occurring. Thousands a week are occurring in that region, and he was saying there's no time for us to delay in trying to get a resolution to this. And so I'm very thankful that Trump is coming, stepping up to the plate and trying to find a resolution. So I do think that if there's anybody that kind of can find a resolution to this, it'll be Donald Trump. And I think Putin respects him, but also more than that, Putin is knows that Trump could do anything. And he knows that he will do anything to make sure that he is going to end this war. So I think it's in Putin's best interest to try to find a solution, to find a way out, to try to find a way to pull out of the Ukraine. And that's, I think, ultimately what's going to happen. But I think it may take a few weeks because I think Putin is trying to drag his feet as much as possible, but I think there will come some point that Trump will say, that's it. We're going to, if you do not, then we're going to bring all kinds of sanctions on Russia, and we're going to have all countries that do business with you, we're going to sanction them, and their economy will absolutely be destroyed.
Well, let me ask you this. Our European allies and you know, their presence, they're notable. You sense it. You can tell. Do you feel a bit better? I mean, you know, we talk about NATO all the time and Europe not really putting in the investment. On this one, they seem to be a little more willing to put their own, you know, troops in. They seem like they're way more committed to this than maybe they have been on other things in the past.
They are, because they are right there. Some of those countries are literally boarding Russia and Ukraine, and they're seeing that he's actually killing people in those in Ukraine, and their country could be next. So this is not one of those situations where what if something happened or if something could happen or whatever. This is actually happening. And so they're seeing it firsthand, and that's why they're stepping up to the plate. And this is, to me, the good thing that's coming out of this is waking up Europe to make sure that they get a strong defense instead of waiting for the United States or some other country to come to their aid.
We're joined by Congressman Robert Adderholt here on the program. Congressman, some talk about a second reconciliation package, and I don't know how. I mean, the first one was a very, very difficult. It took a lot of, you know, politics, and we know how these things go. What should we expect? What do you expect going forward?
Well, of course, as you know, we were able to move on that rescission package that we had earlier in the summer. But I think a second package is going to be a little bit more difficult because of the timing, and because of that, it'll be in the preparations process is actually going to be kicking into high gear when we get back the first part of September. We have to pass all those 12 appropriation bills or pass a continuing resolution to get us through the cutoff date of when the new fiscal year starts on October 1st. So that will be the thing that will be the hot item on everyone's plate when we get back, is because we get back at first part of September. The end of September is when the deadline occurs, when the spending bills terminate for this fiscal year. So a new fiscal year starts October 1st. So we have to have something. We've got to have a continuing resolution to move forward for another 30, 60 days until we can get all these bills passed. oh, we've got to pass all these bills. And I'll be honest with you, there's just no way that we will have enough time to pass all 12 bills. We've passed two in the House. I think the Senate has passed three. Again, there's 12 of them to be passed. They have to be passed by both chambers and then conferenced, and the president has to agree to them. So that there's not a lot of time to be able to do that. So that's going to complicate another reconciliation bill. I'm all for another reconciliation bill if it's one that gets rid of waste and fraud and abuse the president is seeing and through the different agencies. And so I'm very supportive of it. But the reality of it is that the appropriations process is going to be moving forward, and the Senate is going to be focused. You have to have 60 votes in the Senate. As you know, the rule in the House, we just have to have a majority. We'll have that. I think we can get a majority to do a reconciliation bill or hopefully pass the appropriation bills. But the Senate's where the sticky part's going to be, and that's what's going to be challenging to, number one, finish those appropriation bills on time, and number two, to try to do any other thing that would be, I think, very difficult. Also, you, of course, got, as we've talked about earlier, you've got the situation in Ukraine, so that's going to be taking a lot of energy out of the air. So I think another reconciliation rescission package would be possible, but I think it's going to be after we try to get these appropriation bills sort of put away and put to bed.
Gotcha. Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. And I guess this is kind of looking forward to the 26 midterms. And, you know, it seems like the world's operating on this assumption that Democrats will win. And I don't know that that's necessarily true. The Democrats don't really have a coherent message, and they got a lot of other things tying them down. But just talk about that. You know, the Republican caucus going forward, you know, how do you feel? Is it a cohesive bunch these days? I think Speaker Johnson's doing a decent job about as well as one could expect given the circumstances. What's what's the picture sort of like as we approach, you know, another cycle here?
Yeah, well, it's hard to believe we're already talking about another cycle coming up. It seems like we're finishing up the last cycle. But yes, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, is, I think, doing an incredible job. And as you mentioned, under the circumstances, he has got a very difficult job because we only have a handful of seats in the majority. And it varies because there's been special elections where members have been filling vacancies. We've had a couple of members to die on the Democrat side, and those are being filled as special elections occur. So it's hard to get any given time to know exactly how many seats will be short, and especially when we're talking about in September, there may be a couple of special elections that will take place to fill those seats. But right now we're about three or four seats, I think around three seats in the majority right now. But, there could be a special election that happens in one of the states that where there's a vacancy, and I'm not sure. So we're talking three or less. And when you're dealing with 435 votes, 435 members, that's a very narrow margin. So he's got a very tough job, and I think he has done excellent. Mike Johnson is a man that is very positive. He's a man of faith. He's someone that wants to work with people. He's not someone that just shuts people out. And I think that's been the key to his success. He doesn't blow up, get angry. He's like, you know, folks, we've just got to find a solution. And he said, I'll sit here until we find something that works for everybody. And I think that's been his key to success. And like I said, his genuine faith really makes a difference and is very welcome in a city like Washington.
Congressman, you're very kind to make time for our audience this morning. We'll do this again soon, but thanks for hopping on.
Well, good to be with you, and I look forward to we'll be watching the municipal elections as they come up over the next week. And God bless, and hope to be in touch.
That's Congressman Robert Aderholt here on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.